Yeah, because Your Honor ordered us to appear for all hearings on this case in person.
You did, and then I had a couple of people sitting here, and I sent them out to Zoom because they never came in. Oh, there's Inger. Okay, yeah, Inger, poor Inger was here because...
Yes.
And I sent her out because I'm in the middle of a trial, and they hijacked my my screen, so I can't even get in there right now, so...
All right.
Anyway.
The other issue, Your Honor, is...
There should be a lot more people. Nobody's here.
Well, I'm about to get into that. We said
Catwell is stuck in traffic or something.
Yes.
No, we set this for hearing. Ms. Catwell then filed a motion to strike, but she didn't set her motion to strike for hearing. We have the hearing coming up next week on the motion to terminate her. We've been trying to get discovery from Ms. Catwell. She filed a blanket objection, so we filed our response to her motions for protective order. And we also filed a motion to waive the attorney-client privilege. Ms. Catwell sent an email this morning saying she was going to try to duck out of another hearing that she has to log on via Zoom. It doesn't look like she's able to do that. I don't think, Your Honor, that Ms. Catwell really has a say in our motion to waive the attorney-client privilege, nor do I think anybody else really has a say in that for two reasons. Number one, the statute, and it's 90.502, says that the guardian is one individual who has the authority to claim a privilege, so axiomatically the guardian must have the power to waive the privilege. Number two, Ms. Catwell and Ms. Garcia, due to her representation of the Bernsteins in this matter, are all inherently conflicted. We're trying to find out how it came to be that a five-year foreclosure lawsuit that Patricia Somm had already won all of a sudden settled mysteriously in the middle of incapacity and guardianship proceedings. And we think it's really important to figuring out how and why that happened to obtain not only privileged communications between Ms. Catwell and her client. And by the way, we've never seen a retainer agreement. We don't know if one exists. And that was part of the objections that Ms. Catwell made, but also Ms. Catwell's communications with third parties, such as Ms. Garcia.
First of all, any communications with third parties are not privileged.
Well, Ms. Catwell claims otherwise, but I'm sure you read her response, Your Honor.
Right. So, you're talking about with Ms. Garcia or anybody else, or?
Correct. We had asked for communications with Ms. Garcia, with the Bernsteins, and importantly with Patty Somm Jr., the ward's daughter. So yes, we agree those are not privileged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we're also seeking a waiver of the privilege so we can ask Ms. Catwell about her communications with the ward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know, is there anybody, really nobody else really would have a dog in this?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
Thanks.
May I, Your Honor?
Ms. Garcia, yeah.
Yes, well, first of all, Ms. Catwell informed the other side when they unilaterally set this hearing that she wasn't available because she's in a criminal conflict. So I believe that this should be set and allow her to speak. Because if you open these floodgates and you allow a guardian to come in and access the ward's communications with their lawyer, the ward has no protection ever. And then you also have the Florida Bar Ethics Rules 4-1.6 that is broader than the evidence code, clearly, if you look at the analysis. And she cited many cases. And this is more than a five-minute hearing, and I believe that the ward and Ms. Catwell have a right to come in and argue. As far as third parties, privilege does extend to third parties when it relates to her work product and her communications. My client is Patty Somm Jr. for purposes of this, not the Bernsteins. Patty Somm Jr., the daughter.
Ms. Garcia, you had a gentleman in the room with you earlier. Was that one of the Bernsteins?
Yes, Mr. Bernstein's observing,
yes,
which he's allowed
of course
to,
he was.
Because this whole case was filed to try to get around a settlement in another case, which Your Honor ordered the other judge to terminate. And by the way, there's no motion to even set aside this settlement filed. They're fishing, and they're trying to.
I ordered another judge to do what?
You allowed them.
I'm not in the habit of ordering other judges, so what did
I'll rephrase
judge
it.
To do?
What you did, Your Honor, is you allowed them to file in the foreclosure case, the guardian. And in the foreclosure case, they have not filed a motion to set aside the settlement. So here they are with no motions pending, nothing relevant. They're just fishing to get all the information that the ward has had with her attorney. And I believe her attorney should have a right to argue this. I'm here to protect the privilege overall. I don't want to see the floodgates open where guardians come in, take away the ward's attorney, take away the ward's privilege, and the ward has no privilege and no way to protect themselves from a guardian.
Well, that's what the guardian's for. If the guardian's doing something wrong, somebody there's a way to file something on that. You know, I mean, is somebody claiming the guardian's doing something improper?
She filed, from what I understand, is that the ward's attorney did file a motion to dismiss. And I will be filing on behalf of Patty motions to dismiss, motions for sanctions, motions for fraud. Because the guardian also sent you an order, a proposed order on a final injunction in the middle of a hearing with findings that you clearly said on the record there were no findings. And they're using it against to set up my client, Patty Jr. So, I mean, there's a lot of real nastiness going on outside the courtroom in this case, Your Honor.
No fooling. Really? I had no idea that.
Well, Your Honor, I have no idea what a motion for fraud is, but I look forward to finding it out. And I propose Ms. Garcia files motions for fraud on every thing in this case. Your Honor, what we're asking for is to get to the bottom of this. I'm troubled by the fact that Ms. Garcia is here apparently advocating on behalf of Ms. Patwell, who's not her client. And frankly, that goes to the heart of what we suspect is going on in this case, that there is some kind of an agreement between Ms. Patwell and the Bernsteins and Ms. Garcia. And that's why there was all of a sudden this settlement agreement in a case that the ward had already won. I cannot emphasize that enough. So we do think there are grounds in this matter to...
So the ward sued the Bernsteins.
Correct, Your Honor. It was the ward and her husband. They sued the Bernsteins for foreclosure. All right?
Okay. And they got a judgment of foreclosure.
They got a judgment of foreclosure, which the Bernsteins have been attacking and appealing nonstop.
Right.
They exhausted their appeals. On the eve of the foreclosure sale back in April, Elliot Bernstein filed for bankruptcy. It was the second time he filed for bankruptcy. That automatically
put a stay on the foreclosure.
Correct. The bankruptcy court then actually reversed the stay and held that Mr. Bernstein was operating in bad faith because he had already apparently been instructed at one time before to cease filing bankruptcy proceedings.
So they lifted the stay.
They lifted the stay.
They reset the foreclosure.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it settled. In the middle of the incapacity and guardianship proceedings. Oh, the other detail I forgot to add, Your Honor.
But it settled before a guardian was appointed and...
It was after the incapacity was filed, after the committee reports had all come back. But prior to an adjudication.
They all said plenary, I believe.
I believe they all said some degree of incapacity. Right. Yes, Your Honor.
I don't know if it was plenary or limited. Limited,
and there's contestations. But, Your Honor, she's getting into the facts of the foreclosure case, which you said the other judge should handle. We have a 1.540 pending, a 1.530 pending. We're going to be taking depositions if they don't. They haven't even filed a motion to set aside the settlement. So right now, that case is set.
I have a question. Ms. Garcia, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Just humor me.
Go ahead.
A petition for guardianship is filed alleging incapacity. Right?
Yes.
You have reports indicate, you know, the examining committee goes out and finds some degree of incapacity. Right?
Some degree.
Okay. And you negotiate a settlement with that person? And have them sign off on some settlement?
The settlement had been negotiated prior for years, and the settlement was negotiated prior, and there are reports that the reason this happened, I guess the best way to put it, is that Joanna had a power of attorney. The mother revoked the power of attorney. They came in and filed a guardianship claiming incapacity. The reports, which were stipulated to before Mrs. Patwell realized the mistakes in the reports, and plus she is an expert that says there is an incapacity. The report said that a power of attorney would be sufficient. Ms. Patwell agreed to a limited guardianship with Charlie because he is one of the other related members.
Right.
And then what he's doing, the guardian, is just moving forward Joanna Somm's continued fraud on the court. And there is fraud on the court.
By who?
By Joanna Somm and the other filings. If you look at the filings, Your Honor, and this wasn't what we were here for, but if you look at the other filings, you have
No, I'm just curious. I'm not sure I know all the
You have a foreclosure case that
what judge has the foreclosure, by the way?
Now it's Judge Nutt. It went from Judge Castronakis to Judge Carol.
It was Bell.
And then now it's Judge Nutt.
Yeah.
And basically.
What happened to Bell? She recused herself?
Yes.
She did. Yeah, she's on Mr. Kit Roser's recusal list.
All right, so in any event, is there any motion pending to vacate the settlement or any of that? Or
no.
At the moment, there's not, Your Honor, but, you know, that's part of the reason that we're doing this discovery. Ms. Garcia, interestingly, just made a comment that the settlement has been in negotiation for years.
Right.
Well, let's get that information from Ms. Patwell, and if it turns out that this has been in the works for years, there's probably nothing for the Guardian to do. But he has to do his duty and investigate what frankly looks like a fairly shady situation. If we're wrong, we're wrong. Great. Well, I'll move on with our lives.
I don't understand, Ms. Garcia, if this thing has been going for years, why all the stuff, delays, the appeals, the bankruptcies, all this crap? Hey, here's an agreement. We've had this in the works since 2015.
Okay. The reason...
I don't get it.
I'll explain the reason why I came in, and I can tell you what I have garnered from reviewing the bankruptcy cases, the foreclosure cases, the trust cases, and everything else. In the foreclosure case, numerous attorneys were not served, people were not properly handled, and basically what happened in a foreclosure case is that when the ward's husband died, the attorney, Sweet Apple, continued to file pleadings like he was alive, including in the bankruptcy court. Once I called it out in the bankruptcy court to the bankruptcy judge, they substituted in the estate. Then the estate files a claim as a creditor, gets a $50,000 judgment because our clients weren't represented, which I'm moving to set aside also, by the way. And it turns out the estate attorney told me that the estate has no rights. So they have moved the whole foreclosure case without substituting a deceased person for a year, filing pleadings on his behalf, and then they file pleadings
behind the wall. All right, well, it sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is fun, Your Honor.
I'm going to arm wrestle Nut for that case. It sounds like good.
Nut's wonderful, just like you, Your Honor.
Well, I think, when are you coming in for summary judgment? Or when are you coming in for nothing?
It's next Friday. That's our hearing on the petition to terminate Ms. Pazzi.
To terminate, sorry. I'm on the last case of summary
judgment. No problem, Your Honor.
You guys are keeping me way too busy these days. With litigation in this division. All right, so I think... Why don't I do... What time is that set for?
I think that is set
when is that? Next Friday?
I muted it.
You know what? It's Thursday. It's next Thursday at 10 a.m.
Let me see what else I got there. So that's the 26th.
Yes.
This girl is so pissy, you can see by her face. She hates it when I speak because she knows it while I'm saying it's true.
I mean, that's in there for that's in there for a half hour.
You should say something about...
Well, let me squeeze in an extra 10 minutes and we'll argue about the privilege and stuff. And
he continued it.
If Your Honor is going to do that, I have a request, which is, if you're going to do that, please order Ms. Patwell to bring responsive documents to this hearing. And then
if I grant it, you'll have them. If I don't grant it, she'll take her bag with her.
All right, Ms. Garcia, I
think that's fair. And we'll make sure Ms. Patwell's here to defend herself.
That works for me, Your Honor. I will prepare and circulate an order.
All right, so Ms. Garcia, if you talk to Amber, you can let her know. I'm going to order that. You know, well, I'll reserve some time for that.
Okay.
In fact, better yet.
I'm on mute.
Why don't you come at 9:30 and then we'll...
Excellent.
Actually, you're 10 o'clock, right?
We are 10 o'clock.
Okay, my 9:30 went away. So let's set it at 9:30.
Great.
And we will order Ms. Patwell to bring all responsive documents that she has at her care, custody, and control. And then, depending on the court's ruling, either they'll be turned over to Ms. Lewis that day if I grant her motion, or they'll go back with Ms. Patwell if I don't. Okay?
Sounds perfect, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
And everybody's coming in person.
We are coming in person.
In the flesh.
Yeah. And Ms. Patwell is in Tampa, but I will let her know.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, yeah.
Just like the Guardian is out of state, so...
Right. Well, obviously, if you're out of county and out of state, but I need somebody to have her documents. available to be turned right. over. If I grant the motion, I want to hear from right. her as well. So right. obviously, think, she's in Tampa. She can appear by Zoom, and I assume the Guardian's out of state is going to appear by Zoom, I imagine.
Yes, Your Honor.
So that's fine. If you're out of state, you're out of state, or out of county, whatever.
Okay. Well, okay. If what we can do is maybe we can have something in the order that says that Ms. Patwell can, you know, she can mail the documents to me in a sealed mm-hmm. envelope. I'll bring the sealed no. envelope to the court.
Whatever. She can mail to the court in a sealed envelope.
Yeah. Yeah, not to them, okay. Your Honor. I can have her email to me. I can print them and bring them if you would like, or she can send them directly
okay,
to you.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, no, Your Honor,
hold on. No, Ms. Garcia, that's not a good idea. Let her send them directly to the court. In a sealed envelope, and I'm not going to get them. And
great.
Okay.
I don't really want to look at anything I don't have to look at, to be honest with you. So I look at enough stuff. All right.
All right.
And hopefully, we'll get it done. And Ms. Garcia, I apologize about today. This was kind of a mess. So
that's okay, Your Honor. I just followed your instructions.
It's Lewis fell on the sword, so but she'll deny it. But that's all right.
I'll be back in 15 minutes for our other favorite case, Your Honor.
Which one's that?
Joan Klein.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. See you then.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, Catherine, if you can get everybody to pop on like now, that would be awesome.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, see what you can do. Thanks. I appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ms. Garcia. Again, my apologies. Thanks.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, Ms. Nimovich, you're back.
Okay.